We're back in the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios. Time to turn our attention to last Sunday, Patriots and the Miami Dolphins. And guys, the Pats come blazing out of the gate, 3 for 3, 3 possessions, 3 touchdowns. Jimmy Garoppolo twice to Danny Amendola, Martellus Bennett in between. But late in the first half, about 4 minutes to go, Jimmy goes down with a shoulder injury. Pats would take a 31-3 lead. Then it was a matter of sheer survival.
Yeah, I think the worst thing that came out of this is I think the storyline is Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. We forget about how good Jimmy Garoppolo played prior to that. It was seamless. You and I called the game, and we're sitting there during some of those breaks thinking, boy, can it get any better than this? I mean, it was seamless. He looked as good as 12 has looked at times.
Yeah, the one thing I would also underscore beyond just the fact that Jimmy looked good, the team looked good. And there was a lot of those situations, especially Martellus' touchdown there, where they had a game they were trying to run with Sue. Mason actually wipes him out. I mean, as clean a pocket as you can possibly get. And Jimmy looks the guy off, leaving Martellus wide open. So the whole operation was smooth. Yes, the quarterback was on point, but really that first half was some of the best football you've seen from the Patriots, period.
And against an imposing front, they're able to throw the ball downfield. That speaks to the protection the offensive line was providing. Yeah. A lot of throws in that intermediate range. Eventually, of course, you mentioned the Martellus Bennett touchdown catch. That's a 20-yard touchdown toss.
What I liked is Miami games a lot, and that means you have to sort of exchange responsibilities. Your guard and tackle are going to switch with the tackle and end, so it takes good communication. We're only week two, and they're moving Karras and Mason in at right guard, so the idea that guy's got to switch and then pick up Sue is one of the better tackles in the league.
The intensity, too.
It's tough, yeah.
Yeah, their intensity up front with Miami, I'm impressed with it because they lay their ears back and they really play hard. You could say what you want about Adamic and Sue, but from an athletic standpoint of a man that big, this isn't like Mike Reese in there rushing a passer right here. I'm serious. I mean, these guys are like 6'6", 6'7", 340, and they're tough to block. And I thought Joe Tooney at times, Cameron Fleming had a couple one-on-ones on the backside. For a unit that we had so much concern for, no Rob Gronkowski, we already talked about Bennett, but having these five guys and whether, you know, they slide somebody else in, Shaq Mason on the right, talked about Teddy Karras, Andrews in the middle. And Marcus Cannon's been pretty darn solid here through two games. He's played really well.
You just said it, so look at the lap. You go left guard to guard and the quarterback. How many years of experience
Dante
do you have
Scarnecchia
between the three and the quarterback? Yeah. Good Lord.
Scar, you could attribute a lot
very
to
impressive.
Scar, too. I think everybody's on the same page. I think the communication up front's been impeccable.
Well, speaking of Scar, the ability to run for 160-plus yards, 123 from LeGarrette Blount, 29 rushing attempts by Blount. First of all, the mentality. Second of all, the toughness, and then the execution in the running game. How important has Dante Scarnecchia been in all those facets?
I think Scar's been important, but I also think the return of Devlin's been important. I think the addition of Martellus Bennett's been important. I think finding the run scheme that fits your back, Blount perfectly, all of the stuff comes together. And, yes, Scar sort of leads the charge there. But running at the edges, I love it. They get going in a hurry. They're using pullers, all the old stuff, and really collapse in the ends. And I think Marcus Cannon's blocking well on the edge. They've really sort of found their groove. I mean, a lot of the gun runs that we saw a year ago, occasionally those hit now, too. I mean, it's not that they don't do it, but I think they've really sort of found their ace in the hole, the scheme that works best for them.
Derby deactivated, Clay Harbor activated. Harbor's more of your blocking tight end. I thought he set the edge well. We saw Solder in there on some nice pulls. They have some depth up front, and I think that helps to help the rotations up front, but like he said, you know, you play special teams, and you had a good career playing special. It's a mindset. You've got to want to play it. You got to want to run the football. I thought it was impressive when Jacoby Brissett was in the game. And you're running toss sweeps into the short side of the field with no receiver there. And you're running tosses with LeGarrette Blount. You're telling everybody, here we come, baby. And they still couldn't stop it. It was impressive.
So while the offense gets off to the great start, meanwhile, the defense dominates the Dolphins. Miami gets a late field goal in the second quarter, comes out and gives it away early in the third. But then the Dolphins get into the game. It's 31-3. They mount a comeback with three straight touchdown drives. What was the difference defensively?
I thought it took some momentum, some wind out of the sail, so to speak. The stadium got quiet when Jimmy went down. I think it's two different game plans. When you get that type of lead, you're up 31-3. You know, you got your heels back. You've got two high safeties. You've been in these games before where you're blowing someone out. Here, guys, this is what we're going to do. Now, they will never admit it, right? They're going to say, sure. We didn't play well. We got to coach them better, play better. Back up. No big plays over the top. Keep it in front of you. Keep them in bounds. Let's keep that clock rolling.
You hit on the point. Not only keep them in front of you, but keep them in bounds. They're going to let the middle of the field happen. They don't want to run out of bounds. I think this is universal for football. This isn't just the Patriots. Coaches don't like being ahead 31-3 with that much time on the clock.
And the players, it's a natural thing for you to relax.
You see this
bit.
Happen all the time.
And then once you relax, hard to flip the switch again.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, which I think is the impressive element because they did need one final stop. The final drive was good. And to highlight a guy, Chris Long's rush, a lot of really undersold rushes, I think, in that game where he was getting after it. Jamie Collins' interception there in the middle field. Chris was disruptive on the final play of the game. He gets in and Tannehill makes him float a little bit and the pick happens.
You're being an analyst watching this type of game. It's not fun for you. We're calling a game. We don't like 31-3 games.
We're
opening a book trying to make up stats. Well, what happened to this kid when he was 13? You're reaching. And that's that Phil stuff you're trying to put in there.
Speaking of funny things, or not so funny things, they're not laughing these days in Western New York. Panic has already set in for the Buffalo Bills. We'll talk about Rex Ryan and the intensifying hot seat for him as the head coach of Buffalo right after this.